to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic leaders. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I am joined by our content editor, Natasha Menifee. Hello, Natasha.
Hello, Mark. Today we are in session 4 of our Set Apart study, which focuses on set apart in the way that we think. So this session is going to show us the importance of believers thinking more like Christ and less like the world.
All right. So living for Christ changes the way we think. So what helps us to be set apart in our thinking? Well, first, we know a renewed mind. And so let's look at Romans chapter 12, start at verse number 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So there it is, a renewed mind. So this is certainly a really familiar scripture for people who have been around the church and in Bible study for any length of time. Most of you all, if you've been in Bible study and around the church, will at least remember these first two verses of this passage, so powerful in how they talk to us about this idea of having a renewed mind. Now, what really I see here are two important words, conformed and transformed, right? Conformation is a change that happens from the outside. And so we can determine that our lives, our minds are going to be shaped by external stimuli and information, right? I can be shaped by what I see on the news, what's happening with my friends, what I see on social media and other spaces like that. And so my mind is being shaped by all of these things, but that's not a renewed mind. That's not really still a renewed mind. If your mind is just being shaped by all of those external sources, that's the same old mind you've always had. But instead, it says we ought to be transformed. Transformation is a change that takes place not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And so think about the caterpillar that goes into its cocoon in the fall and sleeps in the cocoon during the wintertime. And then in the spring, it comes out of the cocoon as a butterfly. It's a whole new thing. It's been transformed from the inside out. Think of the tadpole that becomes a frog. It's been transformed from the inside out. Or if you're a baker, think about the fact that you take butter and sugar, eggs and a little bit of milk and some flavor and a few other items, and you make a cake, right? When it comes out of the oven, it's no longer butter and sugar and milk and eggs. It's now been transformed. It's a cake. And so that's what God does in our lives. God changes us. We are not the same. And it's no wonder that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anybody be in Christ, he becomes a whole new creation. The old is gone, and behold, the new has come. Transformation. He is in the process of giving us a renewed mind. What are you thinking, Natasha?
Yeah, the word renewing is what stood out for me. You highlighted conformed and transformed, but renewing and that ing part. So it speaks to that former language arts teacher to me. I know that ing, that suffix, means there's a process. It's something that's continual. So we're being transformed by the continual renewing of our mind. So that means that we're continually studying God's word, reading the words, continual prayer life. That leads to that internal transformation that you were talking about. It allows us to have the good discernment to know the will of God. It is that process that, and it shapes how we see the world. That transformation, that renewing our mind on the word of God shapes how we, our ethics, it shapes our worldview, our value systems, and it changes us from ways of the world and shifts us to the mind of Christ that we talked about before, as God intended us to have. So it's all about what we're renewing our minds on, you know, the word of God, prayer time with God, studying, what we take in is what our mind's going to be renewed on. So we're being encouraged to renew that on the things of God.
All right. So as we think about set apart in the way we think, a renewed mind. Second, a humble self, a humble self. Let's start at verse number 3. For the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many in one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And so there is a reminder to us, a humbled self. So this is what I'm seeing here. One, pride messes us up, right? When we think too much of ourselves, we're all in a part of the body. This is what this talks about. And the truth is, I wouldn't want to get rid of any part of my body, right? All the parts of my body, I want to keep every single one of them, right? I want to keep both my hands, both my feet, both my eyes, both my ears. I want to keep everything, right? And so the reason I say that is because one ought not get exalted above the other, because the truth is we all of them have a necessary purpose. And that's the way we are. We come together in the body of Christ, that we are together. But we don't think of one as greater than the other, because we're all necessary parts of the body. And so one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer is it keeps us level-headed, and it keeps us walking with a certain humility about ourselves in this life, not thinking too much of ourselves, so that we can give God glory through our lives. What are you thinking, Natasha?
Yeah, and I like how Paul starts immediately after he tells us to renew our mind, then to humble ourselves. Don't get the big head, especially in our world where we are full of selfies and posts and likes and wanting to get followers. He's challenging us to stay humble. Don't think too much of ourselves more than we should. Because as a Christ follower, our identity comes from Christ. It's not anything that we do. So to stay humble, he tells us to think sensibly about ourselves, and not just to get the big head. Everything that we are and who we are is as a result of God's work in us. So renew our mind, stay humble, because that's how we change the way that we think. That's how we're transforming into that mind of Christ. And so don't think the ways of the world, because the world is quite the opposite of the ways of God. You know, the world tells us to elevate ourselves above others. But as a Christ follower, we know we are to live humble and to not consider ourselves more than others. Not that we don't love ourselves, as Christ has loved us, but we don't exalt ourselves over others. We, because as you said, Mark, we all need each other. We're many members, one body, and we don't want to get rid of any part. So not for us to think ourselves more important than any other part.
And so Paul's just kind of sets the tone for all of that as a reminder, whatever it is we would want to boast about, he starts off by saying, for the grace given to me. And so whatever we have and whoever we are, it's all given to us by grace anyway, undeserved favor. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. So there's no sense of you getting proud about it, right? So here's the third thing, a genuine love, verse number 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. And so a genuine love. And so this is what the ultimate goal is. It is for us to love and to show love in our lives, because love is of God. God is love. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. God so loved the world. And so love is really the secret sauce. Love is what really makes the Christian life work. And love is one of the ultimate goals of God's presence in our lives, so that we can win the world for him by demonstrating his love for the world. And so it's not real love if there's hypocrisy attached to it. Let love be without hypocrisy. Remember, the word hypocrisy comes from the idea of being an actor, right? So don't be acting one way with one group of people and another way with another set of people. Don't be two-faced, all of that, right? You say, because that's not real love. It's not real love if you just cheesing it up when I'm in your presence, but you dogging me out when I'm not in your presence. That's not love. So it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil and cling to what is good. And it says, love one another deeply. And then it just kind of talks to us about how to do that, right? Be diligent in zeal, fervent in spirit, rejoicing in hope, patient in affliction, persistent in prayer, all the things that we need to do. And people need this kind of love, right? What's that old song say? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. And so there it is. We have a world of people, and you think that maybe the world's getting worse and the people are getting meaner and angrier, and we're seeing more violence and all these. What is a cure for all of that? The cure is the love of God demonstrated by the believers. If we could get all the believers to begin to walk in this kind of love, man, what a difference that would make in this world we live in. What are you thinking, Tasha?
And Paul, I see Paul had a genuine love for the church and the people that he taught, which is why he's sharing this in Romans. He had a love for the Roman church. And what I loved, speaking of love, is how he provided replacement behaviors for our thoughts and actions. He didn't just tell us to love. He tells us how to do it and how not to do it. He tells us don't love with hypocrisy. He said to detest evil, but then he gives us something to replace that with. Don't just stay in a spirit of dislike all the time. Cling to what's good. He tells us to rejoice and have hope and to be patient, but not just to be hopeful or you need patience or you should pray, but to be persistent in prayer. So he's giving us tools of how to live and to love one another with a new mindset of Christ. On our own, it's not in our nature to do these things. It's not in our nature to be patient and to stay in hope. So he's giving us some replacement behaviors to replace the old ways and to live through the Holy Spirit, to do these actions and to show love and to change the way that we think. So he's calling us to love like Christ. And in order to love like Christ, we have to have the mind of Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit. So a genuine love is, as you said, is what the world needs. And I love that Paul's giving us tools on how to do it, what it looks like and what it doesn't look like.
All right. That is so very great. What a powerful, thoughtful lesson this is going to be. And so we know you're going to have a great time in this lesson. But if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Natasha is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I want to remind everybody to get your copy of the You Bible Study material. You can find it at you.lifeway.com. That's you.lifeway.com. It is our Urban Cultural Forward Bible Study. It comes in paper and digital formats. There's a teacher guide in the back of the book and daily devotional pages that keep you engaged in the Bible all week long. There's a leader's pack to make the lessons even more meaningful, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum, so there's something for everybody. All right, Natasha, give us our teaching tip for today.
So our teaching tip before we teach this lesson on the way we think is to spend some time in prayer for yourself and those in your class about the thoughts that go through our mind. Pray and ask God to clear your mind and your thoughts and spend some time examining to see if our thoughts are aligning with the scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is a great verse to meditate on this week. It speaks specifically and describes things that we should think on, things that are true, honest, and of good report, things that are of God. So before you teach this week, spend some time evaluating your own thoughts and meditating on the truth found in Philippians 4:8.
All right. What a great word. What a great time this is going to be. Join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.